Today may be the only time that you ever hear a pastor tell you to watch the clock. It's even the title of today's sermon. You know, normally we know how things go on a Sunday morning. And if you can't be at worship on a particular Sunday, you can pretty much look at the clock and you know what we're doing on Sunday morning, even if you aren't there. Well, this time of year, bless you, buddy. This time of year, depending on what kind of a church you attend, you hear one of two kinds of sermons. If you are in a mainline church, you hear about evangelism, reflected in this morning's assigned gospel reading from Mark 1. If you're in what they call a Bible-believing church, who are already very motivated for evangelism, you hear about stewardship. Well, I'm not going to talk to you about money today, so you can take a big, deep breath. But I am going to talk to you about stewardship. Now, this is the first of what's probably going to be about four sermons about stewardship, because stewardship is so much more than money. Now, the verse we're going to look at today is one that we can all quote. And it's Psalm 118, verse 24. And I'm going to start it, and then I want you all to finish it. Okay? You didn't know there was going to be a test, did you? This is the day the Lord has made. The next couple of Sundays, we're going to be talking about managing God's assets. Now today we're going to talk about the number one commodity of our day. It's something that you never have enough of. It's something that we all want more of. And once again, I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about time. Scripture tells us that we need to be good stewards of everything that God has given us. And the next couple of weeks, while we talk about these several things that God has given us, and yes, we are going to get the money, but not today. You see, a steward is someone who manages something for someone else. And that can apply to almost every aspect of life. Some of you are stewards at your jobs. You have been entrusted with something, and you manage it for someone else, so you are a steward. So to put it in context, biblical stewardship is the managing of God's assets. You see, everything that you and I have is a gift from God. Whether it's our home or our car or time or money or our children, it all comes from the hand of God to us. And you and I are commanded by the Word of God to be good stewards and to manage those things that God has blessed us with in a way that honors Him. We are to manage God's assets. Now, time is important to all of us. We watch the clock all of the time. In sports, time is very important, and we hear over and over again about that football game that was decided in overtime, that last field goal. Now, if we don't watch the clock, we get in trouble. We're late for stuff. We might miss an important flight. We might be late for work. We might miss even a job opportunity. We might miss a doctor's appointment. All of us pay careful attention to the clock. You know, I love history. In 1790, less than 10% of Americans had a clock of any kind in their home. And those that did have clocks, those clocks didn't have a minute hand. The smallest division of time was an hour for them. You know, alarm clocks and wristwatches were totally unheard of until 100 years later, in the late 1800s. You know, today, there are clocks everywhere. You cannot buy an appliance that doesn't have a clock on it. Have you tried to buy a small appliance that doesn't have a digital clock? And then, heaven forbid, when the power goes out, I don't even mind that so much as that then I have to go around and reset all the clocks that are blinking in the house. I've tried to let them go, but it drives me crazy. I was reading this past week that in 1999, the National Institute of Standards and Technology installed a new atomic clock in their headquarters in Boulder, Colorado. They claim that this clock is so accurate that it won't lose 1 second Over the next 20 million years, I am confident that none of us here today will care. But time is important to all of us. But mostly, people don't realize how important time is until it's too late. When a person is told that they have a terminal illness, the first thing they ask is, how much time do I have left? Isn't it amazing that we don't mind wasting time, but none of us ever want to lose any of it? Now, here's what I want to plant in your mind today. Time is life. When someone says, where did the time go? You know what they're really saying? Where did my life go? Benjamin Franklin said, do you love life? Then do not squander time. For time is the stuff life is made of. Your time equals your life. You can run out of money and still have time. You can run out of friends and still have time. You can run out of gas and still have time. But when you run out of time on this earth, your life is over. You can get more money. You can make new friends. You can ride a bike. But you can't make more time. Job put it like this, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of months and have set limits man cannot exceed. You know, when I was reading about time this past week, I read an article. It was older, but it got my attention. It said that if you are 35 years of age, you have 500 days left to live. Well, considering the fact that I am ever so slightly over the age of 35, this got my attention. And here's what that article said. It said that when you subtract the time you spend sleeping, working, attending to personal matters, eating, traveling, cleaning, and taking care of all of the miscellaneous chores that a person of 35 usually has to take care of, if that person of 35 has only about 500 days left to spend them any way they want to. And then it asks this question, when all of the necessary things are done, how much time will you have left? Now, if you want to spend the time you have left on this earth in the best way possible, then there are some principles that come out of Psalm 118, verse 24, that can help us with that. Principle number one, appreciate each day as a gift from God. Appreciate each day as a gift from God. Psalm 118, verse 24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. The only day that this verse talks about is this day, today. This is the day the Lord has made. Every moment, every second, every hour of this day is a gift from God to you and me. You know, when it comes to time, God doesn't show any favoritism. Every one of us has 24 hours in a day. Millionaires don't have any more time than homeless people do. The President of the United States doesn't have any more time than a trash collector has. All of us have the same amount of time. Have you ever said to anyone, boy, I wish I had as much time as you do? Did you ever say that to anybody? Now, think about that for a minute. If you did have the same amount of time that they do, you'd still have the same amount of time as you have right now. And some of you are thinking, well, yeah, Sonny, that might be true, but I just don't have enough time to do everything that I want to do. And you want to know what? You're absolutely right. You don't have enough time to do everything that you want to do. But here's a promise. You have plenty of time to do all the things that God wants you to do in a 24-hour period. Now, let me illustrate that for you. Jesus lived on this earth for 33 years. Now, really, the majority of what he accomplished, he did in a 3-year period of time. Now, think about what it is that Jesus had to do in that period of time. He had to revolutionize the meaning of Old Testament law. He introduced the gospel. He changed a 2,000-year-old mindset in the Jewish culture of what a relationship with God was supposed to look like. He changed the entire world's perspective regarding sin and salvation and what it means to be a follower of God. He died for the sins of the world, past, present, and future. He came back from the dead. He became the founder of a brand new thing called the New Testament Church. And he did all of that in 3 years of ministry on earth. In John 17:4, listen to what he said. I have glorified God on earth. I have finished the work that he gave me to do. Jesus used every day of his life on earth to accomplish God's will. And in the end, he accomplished all that God wanted him to do. Now, the question that you and I have to deal with this morning is this. How can you and I be good stewards of the gift of time that God has given to us so that we can accomplish everything that God wants us to do on earth? And that brings us to the second principle. Here it is. Principle number two. Dedicate each day to the glory of God. Now, number one is appreciate every day as a gift from God. And then number two is dedicate each day to the glory of God. In Ephesians 5:15, it says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. Now, the words making the most of your time in the King James is translated redeeming the time. I love that, redeeming the time. And those words imply that you have to buy it up, that you have to take advantage of every opportunity that God gives you in the course of a 24-hour day. Now, that's what Scripture tells us. Now, here's what I want to tell you. This past week, you and I were given all kinds of God-given opportunities. Here's what I guarantee you. This past week, you were presented with an opportunity from God to talk to somebody about your faith in Jesus Christ. Did you take advantage of the opportunity? Did you see it even? Here's what I guarantee you. In the course of this past week, you had the opportunity to help someone in need. Did you take advantage of that? Did you even see it? Here's what I guarantee you. This past week, you were given the opportunity to learn something new about God. Did you take advantage of that opportunity? You see, all of those opportunities were a part of God's gift to you. In 2009, which is very young, we need to appreciate every day as a gift from God, and we need to dedicate each day to the glory of the Lord. Psalm 118:24 again says, this is the day that the Lord has made. This verse isn't talking about yesterday. It isn't talking about tomorrow. You can only enjoy today and you can only redeem the time today. You can't redeem yesterday's time. You can't redeem tomorrow's time. This is the day, right here today, that God has given you. You can only make the most of your time today. Yesterday's gone, and my goodness, 2008 is already a distant memory. 2009 is here, but the only time that you have from 2009 is today, because this is the day the Lord has made. Now is the only time we have. Have you ever talked to anybody about trying to save time? We all say, well, we're going to save some time. I'm going to save some time. You can't save time. You can only spend time. That's it. In a ball game, critical time comes. They call a timeout. The clock stops. Everybody gets their act together. Well, you know what? In life, you can't call a timeout. It keeps ticking. You can't save time. You know, you can't even store it. As a matter of fact, you can't even stretch it. All you can do is spend it. And all of us would be wise to spend it glorifying God. Imagine you got a call from the banker, and he says, good news. I got a call this past Friday, and an anonymous donor has decided to put 86,400 pennies in your account every day, starting Monday. And throughout this year, every day, that's what that donor is going to do. Put 86,400 pennies in your account every day. $864 in your account every day for the rest of the year. And then your banker says, but it, you know, there's one stipulation. Well, you knew there was going to be strings attached. You have to spend it every day. You can't carry any over to the next day. You have to spend it all in that day. Now, I had to figure this out with a calculator. You can do it with a pen, perhaps. That is $6,048 a week, or $314,496 a year. That's a lot of money. But you have to spend it every day. And what you don't spend is forfeited. Every morning of your life, a gracious and loving God deposits into your bank account 86,400 seconds. That's 1,140 minutes or 24 hours in a day. There's only one stipulation. You can't carry any over until tomorrow. You have to use it all today. You can't redeem yesterday's time today. All you can do is spend today. So how are you going to spend it? How are you going to spend 2009? Here's a revolutionary thought. How about if you ask God? Ask God how He wants you to spend the time that He has given you this year. James in James 4 is talking about he's talking to a bunch of businessmen. And these businessmen apparently had great business plans made, and they wanted to make a lot of money. The only problem was they were making their plans without considering God. And listen to what James told them in verse 13. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Why don't you ask God what His will is for you in this next year? Now, I used to watch David Letterman years ago. I'm assuming he's still on, and he still makes that top 10 list. Does he do that? Does anybody watch him? Does he still do that top 10 list? Yes, he does. Okay. Well, here's a newsflash. You know what? You can go to bed at a decent time and get those off the internet the next day, just in case you want to know. But why not make a top 10 list for time? Ask God, Lord, how do you want me to spend my time this year? How do you want me to spend this time that you've given me? How do you want me to spend my time with my family? With work, with worship. How much of it should I spend serving you? How much should I spend going to church? Make a top 10 list and then use that as a guide for how you're going to spend the course of 2009. But make for sure that you put the Lord's will in the middle of your planning. When you go off doing your own thing, don't you be surprised when the world chews you up and spits you out, because that's what happens. Every plan, every decision must be tempered with, as James put it, if it is the Lord's will. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar said, do you know, I buried some people that were married in his church. I was really honored, but anyway. If you will do what you ought to do when you ought to do it, then you can do what you want to do when you want to do it. If you do what you need to do with God's guidance, here's something I've learned. You will be so surprised at how much time you have left to do other things in your life. It's a miracle the way it works. And that brings us to principle number 3. Celebrate each day in the goodness of God. So appreciate each day as a gift from God. Dedicate each day for the glory of God. and then celebrate each day in the goodness of God. Because if you look at Psalm 118, verse 24 again, this is the day the Lord has made. You know, some translations say, we will rejoice and be glad in it. Others say, let us rejoice and be glad in it. There's even a translation that says, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Regardless of which translation you use, there's a choice implied. You see, you and I get to choose whether we are going to rejoice in the goodness of God in the course of every day. Now, you need to understand that your children cannot influence whether you rejoice in the course of a day or not. And your husband or your wife cannot influence whether you rejoice or not in the course of a day. And your boss can't even influence whether you rejoice or not in the course of the day. Whether you are going to rejoice in the goodness of God in the course of a day is a personal decision that you have to make, and only you can make it. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice, and I will be glad in this day. You have to choose to rejoice in God, regardless of what's going on. If you don't learn how to rejoice every day the Lord has given you, no matter what's going on in your life, you are going to live a very short life in a very long time. If you don't include God in your time for 2009, you're going to come to the end of the year and you're going to look back and you're going to wonder where the time went, and you're going to feel like it was all wasted, because it will be, because it'll be things that don't matter. Because you can do a whole lot of things, but when you get to the end, none of them will make any difference unless they're for the glory of God. Now, so here's my challenge to you. Take the time that God has given you this year and thank Him for it, but then dedicate it back to Him. And then spend the rest of 2009 living your life in a way that pleases God. Now, let me finish with this thought. If you are here today and you never gave your life to Jesus Christ, if you are here today and you've never found forgiveness, or if you never had that time when you committed your life to the Lord, then I want you to know that just like Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made for you. Let us rejoice and be glad. You have this day. And I want you to know that this is the day that God wants to redeem you from the pit. This is your day if you never chose to follow Christ. You can't go back and change yesterday. But here's the deal. If you don't know Christ, you have no promise for tomorrow. But you have this day and this time. So commit your life to Christ, and you know what? You will find new purpose, and you will find joy like you have never known. Now, there are not only those of you today that are here that have never given their lives to Christ, but you know that there are Christians here today, and we have grown lukewarm. We have set aside our spiritual lives. We haven't been faithful in prayer, devotion, church attendance. We haven't used the time that God has given us well. We haven't used the talents that God has given us. We have not been faithful. And we look back and we see that we have wasted all of this time for things that don't matter. Don't let that happen to you. And right now, in the quietness of this moment, rededicate your life to Him. And ask Him to forgive you and to remove what's ever gotten in between you and Him. And rededicate your lives to serving God, being a steward and managing well His assets. So let's bow our heads and pray together. Father God, we pray that You would speak to us. And we pray that You would give us the wisdom to respond. For this is the day that You have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. for we pray it in the name of the one who makes it possible, Jesus the Christ. Amen.